Welcome to All Saints Day.
In the old pagan religion, they believed that on All Hallows Eve, which was last night, Halloween, that's the one night of the year that the dead can rise from the grave. And then they get one day, which is All Saints Day, today, to walk the earth. And I guess do their business or do zombie stuff or go buy jackets because it's usually cold at this time of year. Or do podcasts about Halloween. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You are listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us again, Colin Burton of FizzleAndPop.com.
Hello, everyone.
My sister, Heather Knight of Matted Spam.
Hello.
My wife, Heather.
Hi.
Way across the room. My dad, Jess Knight.
I want candy.
No candies in the house. Oh. And my mom, Karen.
Hello.
Hello. Last week, we talked about all manner of supernatural encounters and spooky ghostly tales. And we've got more to go. Now, we ended last week talking about ghosts in my grandma and grandpa's house, which would be your parents' house, Mom.
Right.
And you had a dream. I guess you had gotten in trouble or something, and you were sleeping in somewhere other than they put you in the dungeon or something, or you had a dream that ghosts were coming out of the furnace, right?
I was very small. I was about 3 years old. In our basement, we had a furnace that
still
was
do.
Fed
or is this
by
a different furnace?
Coal. Yeah, this is different.
Oh, it's a different furnace, but
no,
still
it's
a spooky,
the same. They just converted.
Still a spooky part of the house.
Right. For some reason, there was this red thing down there. It was metal, and it was curved, and I don't know if it covered up the coal chute or what. But it was down in the basement, and it was bright red. So I got in trouble, which I often did, and
no.
got sent to bed. And when I was sleeping, I had to be sleeping because I don't believe in ghosts. But I woke up, and I saw all these ghosts were coming out from behind this red thing going, "Hi, Karen."
Hi, Karen.
Scared, and they all looked like Casper.
So that's just crap. That's just a dream. Yeah, well, we'll cut that out. I can just probably edit that out. But there are ghosts in that house. I claim it's Anton, which would be your grandfather.
But why would he be so scary?
Well, maybe it's not his fault. See, I remember the first time I ever had an encounter, I was downstairs. That's where I was going to be sleeping while we were visiting. And I was kind of unloading my suitcase, and I heard voices. And the voices got louder, and they multiplied, and I got scared, and I ran up the stairs. And then I have seen things in that basement. Other people have seen things. And you, specifically, Heather, have seen things at that house.
Yes, I have.
So tell us what it looked like.
You know, I was expecting more, but I really was because I'd never actually seen a ghost. So I thought maybe my first ghost sighting would be really cool. But it was just Mom and I had gone over to visit Grandma and Grandpa. And whenever I go over there and visit, and I would always sleep in the basement, I would go down and say, "Hello, it's me. Please don't scare me." And nothing ever really happened to me down there. And when I would leave, I would say, "Goodbye. Thank you for not scaring me." And I did that day, as I usually did.
So is this an instance where you forgot to ask nicely, or?
No, I think maybe they were just saying goodbye to me, but I ran downstairs and I got my suitcase and I turned around to face the room and said, "Goodbye, thank you for not scaring me." And when I turned around, there was this big, fluffy, foggy looking white thing, and I was just, you know, I had the momentum because I was moving, and I walked right through it, and then I stopped and I turned around and there was nothing there.
Spooky.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not terribly climactic, I guess. But you, outside of not seeing ghosts, you've been physically assaulted by ghosts.
Yes, I have. They don't like
one time at the old Hackberry house.
Twice at the old Hackberry house. There was the first time you and I were sitting in the living room watching TV. You were sitting on the couch, and I was sitting in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, kind of in the middle of the floor.
With nothing around me, and something hit me so hard in the back, like somebody had a really hard finger.
And for once, it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't, because you were sitting in front of me. He was sitting in front of me.
No, I remember this vividly. I mean, she just freaked out. She jumped.
Well, because it hit me, and it shocked me at the same time. But, I mean, it pushed me forward, and I jumped, and I looked behind me, and Derek's like, "What the hell's wrong with you?" And I was like, "Something hit me." It wasn't him, because he was sitting in front of me, and he was just as confused as I was, didn't know why I was freaking out.
I was sitting behind you.
No, you were sitting in front of me. That's why I didn't blame you. I was, because you were sitting at the edge of the couch.
I'm pretty sure if you had been behind her, she would have blamed you.
Yeah.
Probably would have socked
you. And then the other
Heather
time
got
I
pregnant
was...
once and blamed the ghost.
Oh, I did not. You lie. Jeez. Anyway, and the other time I was in the bathroom curling my hair, and I had the hot roller deal sitting on the edge of the counter, and I took a step back to get the curler, and something just blew past my ear, and I kept moving back and forth, back and forth.
That's exactly
recreate it.
That's what I did when I was 8, and I got blown through by the big giant Sound and Fury ghost. I kept trying to recreate it every morning. I would try to recreate it. Never happened.
No, because it was ghost.
And it was not something where I was dreaming. I was fully awake, and I'm sure you were as well. But it is a long-standing family tradition, though. Anything that happens that we don't want to own up to, we just blame ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's easy.
Yeah.
Because they don't have to...
Taxes didn't balance out?
Ghosts. Yeah. Sometimes, actually, taxes, it's goblins.
Oh, goblins?
Goblins. Okay. But back to you, Dad. Yeah, I mean, you had all... I mean... You could probably fill a whole show just rambling on about the weird shit that's happened to you. Why don't you tell us, and this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with ghosts, but some people like to lump UFOs into spooky stuff. So why don't you tell us about the time you spotted a UFO?
Well, I've seen UFOs. Once, my neighbor, Ron Madrid, and I, we all, in Grand Junction, it got so hot, and we didn't have air conditioning, so we'd sleep outside almost every night in the summertime. And one night, Ron and I are sleeping outside, and we heard this weird sound, and it was just, whoosh, whoosh. And we looked up, and here is a craft that looked like it had rocks glued to the outside of it, and it just kind of went over us. And
a box of rocks.
Went up to Mount Garfield and disappeared behind Mount Garfield. Well, we couldn't get in the house. They had the house locked, and we were scared to death. But the next morning, it was on the radio and everything that people that was on Mount Garfield spotted this thing also. And honest to God, true story, we're Cub Scouts, so we would cook our breakfast, cut a hole out of a piece of bread and put it in a skillet and crack an egg in it. Our eggs were hollow the next morning, and that's a true story. They were hollow.
So the aliens
came down.
Eggs.
They stole cow intestines, and,
yes.
And they stole your eggs.
They
took
his
the
eggs.
Sucked the inside of
our eggs. Well, and you know what's funny about
they saved up their pet rocks to make their space.
That's right. And you know what's funniest about that? Joke's on them. They thought they were stealing like human eggs.
Yeah.
Those aren't ovaries. You idiot!
We were visiting over in Grand Junction.
But we can breed our own chickens.
We were over in Grand Junction visiting one time, and I'm with my mother. We'd gone to the store. We was coming back, and this bright light just lit up in front of us, just lit up the whole car, and my mother was scared to death. She had never seen anything like that before. Then all of a sudden, it just took off into space. I mean, just true and just like... just going so fast, and first it was bright, then it just went away and went away and went away and went away and disappeared. And my mother, who's probably never seen, anything like that, was just terrified. She came home to, oh my God, we've seen a UFO, we've seen a UFO. But my grandmother was coming home from work years and years ago, and something hovered over her car. They lived out way out in the country, out where Karen grew up, and the car died, and this thing hovered over her. And she doesn't know for how long because everything in the car stopped, and then it just went away, and her car started up without her starting it. My grandma didn't, she was a lot of stories from my grandma.
These people are all from Missouri.
What's that mean? They can't afford shoes and they make shit up? What?
No, but didn't,
come
but didn't
on.
You and Mom have a experience with light over the car coming back from Parker?
Oh, here about...
Let Mom tell the story.
Seven months ago. Yeah, you tell the story, Karen.
Tell it now.
Tell it now.
Karen and I were coming. We had went up to see her father. They had been down to Durango to see Karen's sister, and then they was in Parker to see Karen's brother, and they were going to come down the next day and see us. And we played cards with them, and as we were coming back about halfway home, this big bright light in the sky. And I told Karen, I says, Karen, you're seeing your first UFO. And we couldn't figure out what it was, and it went over the top of us and just kept going. And it was just a big bright light. And when we got home, Karen's father had died. And we think maybe this was the light coming to get him because it lit up the inside of the car and it went on over the top of us and just kept going towards Parker. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. I mean, it didn't make any sense then, but it sure did a couple hours later. So
yeah. Who in your family was spotted building his own coffin?
Oh, my grandmother, her husband, my original grandfather, Jess.
My original grandfather?
Not the fake one.
My real grandfather was dying of cancer back in 1935, I think is the date. There's nothing much they could do for him, but my Aunt Lily and my grandmother were out in the living room, and the doctor was in the bedroom with my grandfather, and then my grandmother and my Aunt Lily heard pounding, and it was coming from the backyard. It was pound, pound, like hammer hitting wood. And they went to the back door and looked out, and there was a ghostly figure of my grandfather building a coffin. And then the doctor came out and said, I'm sorry, your husband is gone. To set up for my grandmother what she was like, I lived in Grand Junction, grew up there. I was kind of a hoodlum. My grandmother lived in a little town called Ava, Missouri. Well, one night I got in a fight, got stabbed with a knife. went through all the stuff, went to the hospital, got all sewed up, went to the police station, blah, blah, blah. Went home, 6 o'clock in the morning, my grandmother calls my mother and says, I know he's been stabbed. I know he got stabbed in the leg. I just want to know how bad he is. And she was 1,000 miles away. But she could predict everybody's death but her own. I mean, and she would see her brother, my Uncle Bun, just before he died, he came to her and said, I'm going. I'm going to be dying. And, you know, and he had already died. And he had came to her, and she called everyone and says, Uncle Bun's dead. And nobody knew it. And his wife went into the bedroom, and he was gone.
Mm. Now, you and I, Heather, we had gone to Montrose.
Not going
to
say.
Fuck Montrose.
Oh, my God! Woo!
That was Karen!
Oh, man!
So that was Karen!
So, you and I had gone to Montrose.
You and I had gone to Montrose for a wedding.
And I was driving on the way back.
Yeah, we got the bright idea to go there and back
in one night, which was not smart. And not only did we hear weird disembodied sounds of a train at one point, but you claim you saw a ghost on the roadway.
Well,
I didn't see this.
It was about like 10 minutes after we had heard the train whistle, because I remember hearing the train whistle, and I looked at Derek and I said, did you hear that? And he said, what, the train whistle? I'm like, yeah.
And I said, ghost train?
And he said, ghost train? Because there weren't any train tracks around the highway where we were at. And I was like, okay. And I was trying to get comfortable in our crappy little truck, and I was leaning against the window, and I had my eyes open, but I was just so tired, and I just looked up, and I saw this guy. He looked like, for lack of a better word, a mountain man. Had like a backpack on, you know, like all bundled up and the hat and everything, and he stepped out right in front of the truck, and I just freaked out.
And she screamed, and I said, what?
Oh, my God! And he went right through him, and I was just like, did you see that? And he's like, what?
No. Nothing. I saw nothing.
That was the first time I'd ever seen anything.
LSD.
We got some LSD in Montrose.
Yeah, Montrose.
Montrose.
We picked it up at the
Big R, I think.
Yeah, the Mexican restaurant or something we ate at.
We didn't eat it in Mexico. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah, back or there.
Yeah, on the way in.
Wasn't as bad as Mr. Ed's in Canyon City.
No, Mr. Ed's in Canyon City, die. Die of cancer, I swear.
What about when you guys were staying in that hotel room back east with the little cemetery in your
Oh, we're getting to that. Believe me, we're getting to that. But before we get to that,
hotels.com would
have been helpful. Heather.
Yes.
You used to work at Fargo's Pizza on Platt here in town.
Yes,
and
I did.
Apparently, legend has it that Fargo's was built on the site of an old veterinary hospital and veterinary office, and that the parking lot is the Pets Potter's Field, where a pet cemetery of sorts, where some of the ones that just didn't make it are interred.
I always hated them.
Damn wax figures up on the balcony anyway. I thought they were spooky. But you actually have specific tales of Fargo's haunting.
I do. Well, we always thought it was haunted. And those wax figures would move. I mean, one day you'd go by and the hand would be one way. And then, you know, you'd walk by a little bit later and it had moved. They moved. But besides that, there was just, you know, you'd see things, you'd hear things. And one day I was opening Hostess and one of my duties was to go clean all the bathrooms. And the one upstairs, the women's bathroom especially, that's the one that I always felt the most uncomfortable in. It's in the tower, so it's rounded and it's real small. And I went in there and I turned on the water and I got the rag wet and I was washing everything down. Turned off the water, went over to clean the marble table by the tower window, and all of a sudden the water comes back on. Full blast. And I'm like, what the hell? So I go over and the faucet's already turned off and the water won't stop. And I just finally stepped back. I said, stop it! And it did. I was like, okay, thank you. And one time I was waiting on this woman came in with her little boy. Her little boy looked to be about 5 or 6. And she ordered her food. And the little boy looked at me and he goes, is this place haunted? And I said, as a matter of fact, it is. And this little kid's mom freaked out. Why would you ask that? And he goes, I just thought it was haunted. It looks haunted. And I'm thinking, you've got a little psychic on your hand.
Now I heard stories that people found claw marks and blood in one of the bathrooms. At one point. Is that just a story?
That's just a story.
That's something that you can't verify?
I can't verify. I mean, if it happened, it was before I worked there.
Okay. Because that's one of the things that I was told.
We should have
gotten my sister on the pod. I know somebody died of a heart attack there.
Somebody died of a heart attack?
Opening day.
Yeah. Opening day, perfect.
One of the construction guys came in to collect his check, and he died of a heart attack right in front of the stairs. Right as you walk.
Now, when I was a young child, and I would probably guess I was about 7, maybe 6 or 7, I had not so much a dream, a lot like how you on the last episode, Dad, described your encounter with your dad. Yes. It was less of a dream and more of a vision, a vivid thing. And in this dream, I was in the Citadel Mall. And this was years ago, and they've since remodeled, but they used to have these fountains on the lower level outside of JCPenney. And I remember I was standing by one of the fountains looking to, what would that be, the north, down the long corridor. And something tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around, and there stood a decayed figure just staring at me with, you know, with hollow eye sockets. And just, you know, it wanted something, desperately wanted something from me. It scared the hell out of me.
Didn't get it from you, did it?
No, I don't know what it wanted, but I believe, you know, I would bet, I mean, maybe I'm stupid, but I would bet if you tore that part up, if you tore up underneath there, somebody's buried under that portion of the mall. That's what I gather.
Maybe you're the ghost whisperer.
Yeah, you are a ghost whisperer.
Well, you know what I'd like to whisper to them? Leave me alone.
But then you wouldn't have any cool pod stories.
I guess we couldn't be doing these Halloween-themed pods. Now, Colin, you've been mostly quiet up till now. Do you have anything to add?
No.
Yeah.
Anything cool and spooky ever happened at the agency where you and I work?
Nope.
Not that you could think of. Anywhere else you've worked other than in RAF Upper Hayford where you've had any ghostly encounters or things you just can't explain?
Nope.
Okay, thanks for being here.
You bet. I'm finally not on the phone. I'm actually here and I've got nothing to say.
I don't understand how he can have been friends with you for so long and be hanging out with me
and not see him.
Never had a ghosty experience.
Well, you know, I mean, some people...
Well, the thing is, he's got as vivid imagination as Derek does. So, you know, it's not imagination.
But he doesn't have any Missouri blood.
Missouri blood.
Maybe that's what it is. All the rest of us do.
He doesn't know. He could be a Missouri mutt.
Sure.
Now, but the psychic abilities do run rampant on your side of the family, Dad.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us about your mom riding with Jesus?
My mom. That is a good story. My mom, she's a very religious woman, and she was coming back from Salt Lake one time at a church, had been to a church convention, and there's a big, long stretch outside of Salt Lake and before you get into Colorado, and there was a major blizzard going on, and they stopped her and said that she couldn't go on. And she says, I got to get home. I've got to be to work. And they said, well, ma'am, you can't go on. And she did it anyway. And she claims that somebody opened the car door, sat down, and she could see the seat go down. And when she got to the other side, they stopped her there and says, how did you ever make it? She goes, well, Jesus was riding with me. And a lot of those, they lived in an apartment in Grand Junction for a while. And all I can say, it was over by Climbers, which means nothing. It was on the south side of town. But my mom used to have African masks would chase her around the apartment. They would come at her, and she was like half nuts. You remember that, Karen?
She was crazy.
Yeah.
Because then it was these masks were chasing her around the house. My dad was working nights. She claimed she wasn't asleep, and she said these masks would just chase her. And nope, there was no African mask in her house.
Was that the house that where she lived underneath Joyce by that place that made the gravestones?
Yeah.
There were masks in her house.
There were masks.
From Alaska.
Yeah.
Yes. Nancy had given them to her from Alaska.
Masks, but not African masks. Maybe the African masks were pissed at the Inuit masks.
Oh, I bet so.
Yeah. They don't get along.
That was a scary, scary apartment, though. I was always terrified when we were there. Always.
See, I wasn't so much.
I was.
It's because you're one of them.
But you, what?
I said it's because you're one of them.
One of them.
Yeah.
Well, you, though, Heather, you had recent contact with a ghost at your place of employment.
Yes, I did. A couple times. The important thing to me that shows, I think, that I actually saw something, we wear smocks where I work, and they used to be blue, and about 2-3 years ago, they changed to these really thin white smocks.
Part of the smock flock.
Yes. So I was running this machine. I was the only one on the floor because Morris had gone on break, and it was a machine that in order to load it, you had to step on a stool. So I'm up on this stool. I load the machine. I turned around, and there was something standing right there in my face, and he was in a blue smock. It was a guy. And it just happened so fast, but I jerked back and almost fell off the stool. And I thought, well, you know, maybe there's something behind me that's blue, and there's this, you know, reflective looking been over here, and I up and down the stool, trying to make it happen again, and it never happened. And I told Morris about it when he came back, and he goes, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy. He's one of the engineers that died. He had a heart attack and died here in his office years and years ago. And then just recently here, maybe about a month ago, I was up on that same floor, and I was doing this hand test that requires a TV, and you have to watch these little movies. And
what the hell kind of a test is that?
It's for a video. I know. It's for a video chip, and it's the most annoying thing ever.
Oh, so you have to make sure that the video chip is operating.
Yes, we have to make sure that the video actually works, and it's just like 2 minutes long. But what it is, there's a black frame around the movie. So you've got a really good reflective surface there. You can see things behind you.
Sure.
And we had all this equipment that was wrapped up to be shipped off somewhere else up against the back wall. And as I hit play to watch this movie, I catch, you know, something, you know, in the back of the screen, and I look, and in the screen I can see this guy walking across the back wall. Mm. And he's wearing a blue smock. And I turn around and I look, and of course there's nobody there. And I went and told Morris. I said, hey, I saw that guy again in the blue smock. He was walking up against the back wall where all those machines were. He goes, oh, yeah, I saw him too.
Now, I thought a ghost knocked you off your stool, or is that just a line from a Beastie Boys song?
That might be a line from the Beastie Boys song. I was on the stool when I saw that guy. Okay. I almost fell off the stool because he was right there in my face.
So he didn't come up and knock you off?
No.
He didn't come up to your place at the bar and smack you off your stool?
No, he did not. He just scared me.
It's a shame. That would be a much better story. Tip for me to you next time you tell the story?
Next time he knocked me off the stool.
Knocked you off the stool. Now, the wife and I, a couple of years ago, we went on a great vacation all up and down the East Coast. We flew into Baltimore, stayed a night in Philadelphia, not the city of brotherly love, one of the unhappiest places
on
earth. Then we went up to the Boston area, stayed a few days then we went way across to Canada and then down to Cleveland and then to Altoona and then to Gettysburg. And that's where the ghosty stories start, because Gettysburg, of course, one of the major battlefields of the Civil War, one of the most haunted places, if not the most haunted place on the planet.
And that's where the hotel started going down too.
Right.
Because every hotel was great up until then.
I was able to book some nice 5-star hotels through Priceline until we got into Pennsylvania.
We get to the Econo Lodge in Pennsylvania.
And I booked at the Econo Lodge in Altoona and then in Gettysburg. But I'm thinking, okay, so it's not like the historic Econo Lodge. I mean, we'll probably be saved supernatural experiences staying at the Econo Lodge.
Yeah.
And so we're driving down the Baltimore Turnpike, and the address of the Econo Lodge is on the Baltimore Turnpike. And I'm looking around at the surroundings as we're getting closer and closer and closer to this hotel, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe not. And then we get to the National Cemetery at Gettysburg, and then now we're on Cemetery Hill, which was a major battlefield in the Gettysburg conflict. And then there's Evergreen Cemetery, and then right literally touching the wall, the border wall of Evergreen Cemetery,
Is the Econo Lodge. Yeah. If you were on the back side of the Econo Lodge, it overlooked the cemetery.
Yeah, smack dab right in the middle of a place where many, many people lost their life. So we check in, we go to our room, and the first thing I notice is this odd skeletal handprint that's on our mirror. And I'm thinking, okay, so the housekeeping people,
they're not that good. No, I noticed it first because I remember I said, oh, some housekeeper. That should be the first thing they clean.
And I looked a little closer, and it didn't look really that human. It looked more skeletal, segmented.
Yeah.
So we went to get more stuff out of the car, came back, and it was gone. And I don't think that the immigrants
that don't speak English
at the other end of the hall had enough time to run back, clean that mirror, and get out. Maybe they did. I'll give them credit for being really, really fast. So then later, so we go a little walking around, and it's a dreary, dismal day in Gettysburg, and it's just a somber, somber atmosphere. I mean, so many people that have died, and you're walking through the monuments, and we walked through both cemeteries. And then we decided, okay, we're going to go see what we can get for some foods, time to eat lunch. And you're walking through the town of Gettysburg, and you really don't know if what you're looking at is real or an apparition. You know, you're like four people standing on the corner, only two shadows kind of thing. And so we stop at this cafe, serves Greek food, and we're sitting in the cafe, and we're eating the food, and then a light bulb right next to us explodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, maybe it was just that, you know, it was ready to explode. Maybe that's not supernatural. But that night, I guarantee we didn't get any sleep that night.
No.
Because we saw two apparitions specifically in the room, two soldiers. There was a Union soldier by the door acting as a sentry. And then Heather saw a Confederate soldier in the corner by the lamp.
Mine was by the door because I...
Yours was by the door.
I was facing the door when I was sleeping. And I looked up and he was just leaning against the side of the wall, just staring. And I said, Derek, look. And he's like, what? And he was gone.
And it was, when it just... fades away, you know, as we turn on the light. And it was just, the place was haunted, spooky
you just
haunted.
Felt like something was watching you no matter
the
where
whole
you
time
went. It was just
and
creepy.
We missed, unfortunately, the one place we did miss on that trip was Salem, Massachusetts, which would have given us even better stories to tell, but we'll have to hit that on the next trip. But certainly, if you're looking to get the crap scared out of you,
go to Gettysburg.
Certainly, Gettysburg is the trip you want to take. And there's a lot of the actual historic places that you can sleep at, places that have been converted to bed and breakfast. Specifically, one bed and breakfast on the top floor during the conflict is where two Confederate soldiers hid out and were sniping.
Mm-hmm.
And that side of the hotel is still riddled with bullet holes.
How much time we got left?
You got time. What do you want
Your
to tell?
Your mom needs to tell the story about our new cat.
The
and
new
how
cat.
We came about this cat.
Oh.
You guys have a new cat.
We do. We have a new cat. Our neighbor's son was dying of liver cancer, and we had taken care of Abby for him when he was in the hospital and so forth. And it was sort of just known that we would keep her when he did pass away. And his parents had decided to take him up to Vail so he could spend about 5 days in the mountains. He was getting really sick, but we did take care of Abby. And one night, we were just saying, what is wrong with this cat? She kept slinking around, and then she would just look and stare up the stairs or stare down the hall like she was looking at something, someone. And we're like, this cat is crazy. And later, we found out that Paul had died at that time.
Mm-hmm. So Paul was saying goodbye.
He had to have been there.
Well, you know, Derek, you should have had my sister on the pod for this pod because she has lots of stories about Jack Quinns.
Oh, I'm sure she does. And, you know, I was going to call Andy the Bison. His mother had been in town, and she has a story that he was going to relate. But I think what I'll do is I'll relate his story about her for him and her. this goes back to the Ouija board. And I guess how the story goes is his mother was looking for her car keys or somebody that was with her. They'd lost their car keys. And so they pulled out the Ouija. Let's ask the mystical Ouija where the car keys are.
Ouija board, goddamn
it. No, it was
Ouija board.
It was their neighbor. Their neighbor had lost the car. Neighbor had lost the car keys, so they pulled out the Ouija. You know, the mystical Ouija will tell where the car keys are. And it spelled out herb root rack.
What?
Herb root rack?
Rack. One big long string of letters, herb root rack. H-E-R-B-R-O-O-T-R-A-C-K. And so they called up their neighbor and said, you have a spice rack? Yeah. Oh, there's my keys.
Oh, that's freaky.
So the herb root rack is where the spirit saw the keys. Not the spice rack, mind you, but
so
the herb root rack.
An Ouija old ghost.
Board. An
the
old ghost. Well, very old ghost.
Shannon
with a very colloquial way of speaking.
Shannon could tell stories about Jack Quinns when she used to be their pastry chef. It's been, I don't know how old Jack Quinns is, early 1900s?
Well, that particular...
Oh,
well, that
yeah,
particular,
same as the Peak Theater and the yeah. Chief Theater.
Yeah, that stretch of buildings is built around the turn of the century.
It's been around
certainly.
For a long time, and when she used to be their pastry chef, she'd have to go and open at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. She'd be the only one there to go and start making pastries. And they're... It's really kind of creepy, that place, if you've gone down to where their walk-in is, because you have to go down into the basement and all the way to the back of the basement in Jack Quinn's for their walk-in freezer. And it's just, like, we were there for
Thanksgiving we were there,
during
it,
the day,
when
and
there
it was just
with,
creepy
yeah, it's a spooky,
with lots of people.
Place.
And so
bar stools kind of jump off, you know.
Well, you just ruined the story,
jump around.
And, jeez.
Well, I'll edit that out then. Go.
And so she'd go down into the walk-in to get stuff, and she'd hear things squeaking on the floor upstairs, like, or she'd hear something fall. And they had these really heavy bar stools, almost like your bar stools, the real tall ones, and they'd flip them over on the bar at night when they'd clean. And she'd come up, and the bar stools would be sitting straight up. And like somebody had taken it down, because if they would have fallen off, they wouldn't have been sitting straight up on their legs. And she said glasses would break and stuff.
Now, remember when you and I were out looking for houses to buy?
Oh, God, yeah.
The one not far from here, just down the road, that got a zero. I had a little rating system. And I was rating the houses from 1 to 10.
Psycho ward house.
And this house got a zero, specifically because when we went downstairs, the old man who had owned the house never left. He was still there, and he didn't really want us there. He was unhappy. He was in his workshop giving me kind of the evil glare. And so we both looked at the realtor and said, we'll just take off. You know, we don't even need to look too much more at this house. He said, why? I said, well, this one gets a zero. Well, why? I said, you didn't see the old man down there, did you? No. I said, well, I did, and I don't really want to live with that old man.
He knew he had suckers then.
Well, do you remember,
Derek?
You're the crazy one.
Do you remember the Civil War chair you sat in at the Super Bowl party from
Andy
and
Faye? That's a great story. We have just enough time. I'll relate this story quickly. Somebody that worked for me at the Gazette named Faye, her and her husband. Her husband is a big old guy from New York. Just not afraid of nothing. Just like a huge guy from New York. And she's big into antiques. And so she bought this chair. It was a his and hers chair built around the time of the Civil War. Hand-stuffed leather chairs. It's not dissimilar to the ones that you and Colin and you, Mom, are sitting in right now. But, of course, much older. And it was a set of chairs, but nobody ever bought the set. But the antique dealer said, no, you really need to buy it as a set. It upsets the spirits if you don't buy it as a set. But Faye only had enough money for one. Apparently these chairs had been returned several times. And Faye only had enough money to buy one, and so she bought the hers chair and brought it home. And Andy told me this story after she brought it home. He got up in the middle of the night to get something to drink, and he walked into the living room and then into the kitchen, and he said, and then there's this lady. She was all dressed in old clothes, and she came right through the stove at me. I was so scared. Oh, my God, I didn't know what to do. And so they challenged me. When the Broncos were in their second straight Super Bowl, that was at 98, they challenged me to watch the entire Super Bowl in the ghost chair.
Yeah, because they were hoping he would pick up the spirit, because she did come back through the fridge at him when he went to get something out of the fridge. He said she popped out of the fridge, and he goes, scared the bejesus out of me. I dropped the milk and everything.
And so I sat in the haunted chair for the entire Super Bowl, and not only did the Broncos kick the Atlanta Falcons' ass, but apparently after that, they didn't have any more spooky hauntings.
Maybe that's why we see things.
You weren't
She's with us
at our house watching that?
No, that was the first Super Bowl we were. This was the second Super Bowl, the Broncos. The second straight Broncos win Super Bowl, not the first where we were at your house. But this we were at Faye and Andy's house.
Hockey's on.
You're right. And guess what? We're out of time.
Goody!
So happy All Saints Day, and for you crazy Mexicans out there, tomorrow's your crazy dead people's Christmas, so enjoy your Day of the Dead. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. With us this week is Colin Burton, who had very little to say.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. Colin Burton of FizzleAndPop.com. Heather Knight of Matted Spam.
Bye to our peeps.
My wife, Heather.
Bye.
My mom, Karen Knight.
Bye.
And my dad, Jess Knight. See ya! Thanks, everybody, for joining us on the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Hope you had a great Halloween, and keep it spooky. Keep it spooky.